May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us even at this blessed moment of grace. Dear service guest, have you ever thought that what is the very first written question in the Bible when you begin to read the Bible from the beginning? You can see it in the opening pages of the Bible. This question is, the theme of our dear Christianity for Christianity's camp, and also the theme for this year's annual book. And the question is included in that text, which I shall read of the Holy Word for our mutual study. The text is from Genesis chapter 3, from the very beginning, first 15 verses. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Amen. We are around the creation stories of the Bible. This story of sin fall is immediately after the creation story. In the creation story, it speaks of the creation of human, and God created man as his own image. As image of God, man and wife created he them. And it is also written here that the Lord God created man of the dust of the earth and blew unto his nostrils living spirit, and thus man became a living soul. God has created a human to be an image of him and the Lord of creation. And as he created man, he blew into him a living spirit, and a human became a living soul. It is based on this that we live here on earth with dual parts. We have the old portion, which is of dust, it's temporal, our body, and inside us there's a living soul. Have you, the listener of the word, ever thought or imagined in your mind how well everything was there in paradise? At the end of the creation story, it has been recorded that when God completed his creation work, he looked at everything that he had done and said, "Lo, this all is very good." As coming from the hand of God, world and the creation and its entirety was perfect, without error, and completely clean. We humans have a tendency to this, that if temporarily we would want something or we are lacking something, it may feel that I would also need that. But think about this, that paradise, that it was a state of perfection. Nothing was lacking there. It was made by the hand of God, and perfect being, at the perfect state, humans had everything overabundantly. And after the sin fall, mankind, and no man has been able to live in such perfection. After God created human and set the first human couple to live there in the perfection of the paradise, there were everything for them abundantly, and all of the goods of the paradise were for their use. But God gave them one restriction, and that was this, that they could not even remove the fruit fruit of the tree of the good and knowledge of good and evil, or to eat them. Why would God give them this kind of a ban when they had everything to their needs or you needs abundantly? There certainly was some need for this. God, as Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, is the Lord of creation. And when He created human as His own image, with this ban to eat from the knowledge of good and evil, He showed through this that the human is not able to govern everything, but is subject to God, and God governs everything. And this is how God showed that He was the Lord of creation. Have you ever thought of this life of Adam and Eve there in paradise? From that point of view, how humanly it may seem, how easy it was for them to keep this commandment of God. I remember at the first year of my school, on the first grade, when the teacher was considering sinful at the religion class, and I still remember those thoughts when I was thinking there at the school class, that wouldn't that, everything else, wouldn't that be enough for them? This is how it seems to us in a humane way, or in a human, according to human understanding. But Adam and Eve were not just by themselves in the paradise. Enemy of the soul, hiding with the, as a snake, came there to be with them. I don't know if it is because of this, the story of the fall into sin, or because of the reason that the a snake, this Gugarme serpent, is dangerous. But whenever I see this serpent, I kind of become startled that, oh no, there's a snake there. It could be affected by both of these reasons. And I believe many listeners share the same experience, that when you see a snake, you become startled. Or viper, you become startled. Hiding as a viper, the enemy of the soul came to the paradise and tempted the first human couple to break the only ban God had given them. Enemy of the soul attacked first at their faith in God by this first human couple, and at the holy word of God. And this faith in God and His holy word is the most important thing in man's relationship of faith with God. The enemy of the soul began cast doubts on that judgment which God had ordered for sin. We can say that this disguised enemy acted as a tempter in the paradise. Have you ever thought how sly and how kind of faked humility is hidden inside this sermon of the enemy. Has God truly said so? He would not say that God has not said so, but he started in a very sly way approaching with a faked humility. Did God actually say? Is this a familiar question, dear sister and brother of mine? Has the enemy of the soul asked this question to you? I believe that many listeners of the word shares together with me this experience that yes, indeed, it was not a one-time deal. This slyness of the enemy of the soul is shown in this, that he first wanted to get in the connection with a man, and after that started to approach the weak points of the human. Is it a familiar experience that the enemy of the soul recognizes believers, believing brother or sister, weak point, and approaches through that weak point? The serpent had very arguments that made sense here in the first discussion. When the serpent had asked the question, what did Eve say or respond? We can see from her answer that she still knew the will of God when she first responded to God. But the enemy of the soul was not satisfied with this response of Eve. He is the father of lies, and appears to be that when he says that you will not die, you will not die, but your eyes are opened, and you will become like God, so that you will know both, you will know everything, both good and evil. Wasn't it a sly temptation of sin that man, who humans who had everything abundantly, who had been created as the image of God to protect and cultivate the creation, there was not enough to be there at that state of perfection, but the enemy appeared as the father of lies and started to question the word of God. He begins to preach that you will become even bigger, you will become like God. And that was a temptation man could not go by. It's the familiar feeling from a human side that we would want to become better than what we already are, or better than the others. This shows to us second approach of the enemy, that the enemy knows the writings of the word of God. It was not written yet, but he had given his word to the first human couple. When the enemy tempted Savior in the wilderness for 40 days, it also showed how the enemy knows the scriptures. If we consider this sinful story through the different beings of sin, we already have seen different aspects of sin. The first aspect of sin is the listening of the tempter. The second aspect of sin is the doubting of the word of God. Third aspect is one's own self's glorification. The fourth one is the appeal of the sin. And then next is God's heart's falling away of the will of God. At this moment, we could pause for a moment around what is sin. We know that at this time in 2020s, it's not a fashionable statement. The sin is spoken very little about nowadays. But from the Word of God, we can see, and through faith we understand, that sin is hearts falling away from God. Sin is that heart gives up on the living God and God's will, which he proclaims in his holy word. Our Christian doctrine explains sin more precisely. It begins with the statement that sin is hearts falling away from God. But then Christian doctrine goes deeper and says when man lets his fleshly desires to guide him, sin is sensuality. When he loves world and its treasures more than God, his sin is worldliness. When man in all seeks for his own good, his sin is selfishness. And when man admires and rises himself up and wants to be able to get by just by himself, his sin is pride. Wasn't this a good depiction of sin? But then here we have already considered and seen this aspect of sin, which is the actual fall. First, it was preceded by the that heart was tempted, and then the actual fall took place. And the fall showed that man acted upon the desire of the enemy of the soul. And when Eve took of the tree and ate, what did she do? Yet another aspect of sin, getting a friend to sin with. Isn't this a familiar matter when the enemy preaches a sermon of lie? He may preach in his sermon of lie that if in a group you do this as believers, then it's not sin after all. Or at least it makes it, less severe. And one aspect of sinning is getting a companion to sin with. This fall meant disobedience to God and his holy word. Did the way of disobedience was made beautiful by the enemy with very tempting temptations. You will not die, but you will become as God, God-like, and you will get to know both good and evil. These tempting temptations, beautifying them has been a tool to enemy throughout all times. When the enemy tempted Eve, Eve looked at the tree and noted that it was a beautiful tree and nice one to see, look at. It was a alluring temptation, and the enemy of the soul gives, allures us to these kind of temptations even today. And even today, the enemy is in business of making even one believer to fall. And then this mutual love of the believers, which is as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and this bond of spirit, it is to the enemy of the soul as poison. The enemy does all he can so that this mutual love of the believers would be broken. And yet God seeks of the believers the weak points. And when the sin fall had taken place, what was as a consequence? It appears here that the next aspects of sin are being revealed here. The text here speaks how Adam and Eve went into the bushes and into the woods, to the trees of the paradise to hide. And the text tells us that they were naked and they were ashamed. Think of this, how great a change there was taking place when they fell into sin. At the end of the creation story, it says of Adam and Eve, after Adam, God had created a spouse to Adam, that they were naked and were not ashamed. But now, when they had taken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were still naked, but they became ashamed. One aspect of sin appeared, which was the shame after sin, shame and fear after sin, and after they hide it, there's one more aspect of sin where they hide it from God. They hid from God. And now when they were there hiding and still ashamed of that nakedness, they were in a lack of garments, clothes. What did they do? They took fig leaf trees and started to make covers for themselves, as the Biblia translations says. They started making garments of fig leaves so that they would not need to be ashamed of their nakedness. It is good for us to pause here, to discuss what was that garment that prevented that shame of God, Adam and Eve, that what was that garment that prevented that shame of nakedness? It was the garment of God's righteousness. Adam and Eve were born as believers into this world, as all believers are our people are born believers, as the word of God tells. But when they fell into sin, that garment of gift righteousness was removed, and they became ashamed of their nakedness, and they tried to cover that with the fig leaves. And fig leaf in the Bible speaks of self-righteousness. How much can a person with their own deeds affect this, that he becomes righteous or blessed? That is also recorded in the Bible, that even the best deed of a person is as filthy garment is if it's done in order to save one's soul. Man cannot become of his own deed righteous, but only through that he can believe his sins forgiven. Even beautiful garments of self-righteousness will give peace to sinful person's soul. And very touching here in our text is this, what God then did after this. We could consider it with two questions. God considers sin, and how does he consider a sinful man? He hates sin but loves sinful man. God came to the paradise, and what did God do? What did he do when he came to the paradise? He called Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? And Adam responds that I was afraid, and that's why I went hiding. God came to the paradise to call fallen ones, to invite them back to the kingdom of God. This is how it was at the beginning of time. How has it been throughout the history of the world? How is it today? And how is it until the end of the world? Precisely in the same way, God seeks for the lost ones, and God calls the lost ones through the holy grace of repentance into his kingdom. And when we think of this creation or sinful story, it is shed with the right kind of light when it is connected with how God came there and proclaimed to the first human couple the gospel, the joyous message of Jesus Christ, and Adam and Eve were returned back to faith. In that gospel, God gave them a promise that once there will come to the world he who will crush the head of the serpent. He gave a promise of the coming Messiah. Even before the beginning of the ages or creation of the world, the work was divided in heaven, and that division of labor was clear. God will create, and the Son of God, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, will redeem or atone. God knew that man would fall into sin, and he had prepared this, how he would make a sinful person righteous. Even before the creation of the world, that's the division of labor was clear. And then when God gives this his word of promise to the human couple, in this word of promise, the Old Testament believers believed for thousands of years. Dear service guest, have you ever doubted? I think that you share together with me that feeling that you have had doubts and the experiences of doubts. I have often thought of the Old Testament believers. They certainly had a battling congregation there. And there was many kind of difficulty to live as a believer. They had martyr deaths. The temporal powers were not protecting that they could keep services in peace. They had many kinds of battles. And their object of faith was the word of promise. I often thought that they had often doubts, when we New Testament believers also have doubts. Even though we believe upon the already taken salvation taken place, or redemption that has taken place, we gather around those topics at Christmas and Easter time. But it is good and encouraging for us to know this, that as touching a story, this story of sinfall is, when we bring, when the grace of God is brought to it, that he sacrificed his only begotten son on behalf of the sins of all the world, it is being brought to that the righteousness of God, which only is acceptable to God, when it is brought into this story, then to this story is brought a very comforting point of view. When the sin fall had already taken place, and even though God called the people and proclaimed the gospel, but there was consequences for all mankind from it. And those consequences are what those that, as we know, the whole history of mankind, a great shadow descended on the world, and the man became defiled by inherited sin, and as a consequence of sin, Adam and Eve were chasing away from the paradise. God put his angel guard to the road to paradise to guard it. If I had read this portion further here, we could have seen the consequences of sin that God gave to Adam and Eve. In their own lives. Those are certainly very familiar to many service guests. Those consequences travel from generation to generation. To Eve was given the pains to give labor, and Adam was given the distress from all the work, or burdens from of the work. Are these familiar matters to you? With your sweat on your forehead, you shall eat your bread. Are pains of labor familiar experiences? And is it also familiar to you that when a child is born, that those distress of labor is forgotten immediately as that blessedness and joy of new birth conquers our minds? As a consequence to sinfall, and inherited sin are evil thoughts, words, and deeds are sins what that we call actual sin. Dear listener of the word, how has your endeavor of faith felt like? Has the enemy been idle? Or has he approached you? Do you experience to be a brother of Paul? That good which I would want to do, I do not. But that evil which I would not, that I do. But not me, but sin that dwells in me. If it feels that sin has attached and made the travel slow, this kingdom of God is the kingdom of grace and forgiveness. In this kingdom, we have open springs of washing against all sin and defilement, and even now you have permission to believe all sins and travel errors and faults and burdens also forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, and you can be with a secure mind. And you, among the receivers, dear brothers and sisters, no matter in what kind of situations of life or no matter in what part of the world you are in, precisely the same way as here at Service Place, the gospel belongs to you also. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And when this kingdom of God is the kingdom of grace and forgiveness, and when accidents happen on the way, even name sin can take place in the kingdom, we have in our use confession, which is a grace privilege, that name sin can be put away with a name. We can, each of us, pray that God would give us near escorts on the way to heaven, confession fathers and mothers, or vessels that keep, trusted friends to whom we can speak to if there are name sins in our conscience, so that we can put it away with the name. Dear listener of the word who experienced that at this moment you do not own the most precious treasure that a human can have, living faith in your own part. The same way as God sought after the lost ones there in paradise, God also calls here at the Opistle Services in Ranua. If God has awakened your conscience, do not put off repentance, but receive the gospel preached from the kingdom of God, and you can believe unbelief forgiven, which is the sin of the mother of all sins. You can believe it forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And when you believe, even the angels in heaven rejoice, and a piece of earth descends on earth, and God grants you faith and the Holy Spirit. This kind of kingdom of grace and forgiveness we do have, dear brothers and sisters, and I who have served you, I also would like to hear the same gospel, and thus want to ask that, do I have permission to believe all sins forgiven? I have a desire to believe together with the throng of God, and I have a desire to be with that throng when Jesus comes together with his angels the second time on this earth. I want to be on that group of people on the right side with the white robes who will be given the wonderful call, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, and own that kingdom which has been prepared for you from the beginning of time." You also, don't you also, dear listener of the word, want to be in that group? You can remain, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. We say in Jesus' blessed and always blessed name, amen.